Well, we're glad that you're back here today, and I hope that all of you people that are listening in are not stressed because you're studying English, but you're enjoying it. Do you think so?
Oh, I think so. And I think once they're at advanced level, they really do love English now.
Right. You know, a lot of people just listen in. They don't even read the magazine, but they kind of like to listen to that. And it's good for you to listen to different radio programs as well as read books. And we're talking about a book today, too.
Right. But, you know, some people do get a little stressed. I think some articles are a challenge, and
they're stressed to teach too.
Yeah, stressed to teach. So don't worry about it though. Right. If it's a challenge, just take what you can and try to enjoy it.
Well, that's true. And Hazel, what is the book that we're talking about?
It's a book called The Longevity Project, and it's sharing some secrets to a long life.
Okay, and it's in the magazine, and we're going to do page 39 today. And Lois, you said you saw that book on the bookshelves already.
Yes, I did. I was home in Toronto, and I actually think they had it on a book table, kind of like pushing sales for it.
Kind of a new book.
And I saw it and thought, I remember thinking, oh, this looks like a study that they did for a long time. And then when we had to prepare,
you got back
here
and followed.
Wow. Started in 1921.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the picture they had on the front cover. It was
longevity.
Like longevity.
Long life. Okay. Well, you know, we don't really know why some people go so soon. Sometimes there's an accident or a plane crash or something. That hasn't got anything to do with it. But just regular lives. Some people live longer lives and some shorter lives. And it's often a health problem, isn't it?
Right. It's often a health problem. It definitely used to be your gender. Were you male or female? Because males used to not live even close to the length of time females did. But apparently that gap is getting smaller and smaller. And I would think that most people now cannot believe how many elderly relatives they have that are males. Mm-hmm. But if you asked your parents, how about in your day when you were my age, they might not be able to, you know, give the same conclusion as you have nowadays.
Well, and everybody wants to live kind of a healthy life, that's true. And nowadays you find more people in their 90s. Before, if they were about 70, say, oh, they're kind of getting older now. And now 70 doesn't seem very old, and they say that being in your 60s is like the 40s. So people are living longer, healthier lives, it seems like.
Right. So you said longer and healthier and happier lives. A lot of people enjoy retirement and stay very, very active and do things where in before, like you said, when you're 60, 70, people think old. But now that doesn't seem very old anymore.
Compared to me, yeah. But, you know, age is just something to see what you can do and just keep doing it. And
Right, right.
We all function.
And, you know, it's interesting how many people are so active now. I was just reading about this woman who just did a marathon, and she was in her 90s. And I went, that's incredible. And then I just watched some gymnast, and she was a woman. She was also in her 90s. So it's,
and some people even scuba dive in their 90s.
Yeah, you still do that.
Yes,
that's like Doris. And I remember George Bush, when he was 90 years old, he went skydiving.
Yeah, that's right.
You never know.
And, you know, I'm just... I visit sometimes my parents. I actually can't believe, I think my dad is more flexible than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 81. Mm-hmm. And I think, wow, Dad, I'm so shocked how fast you can just drop to the floor and like do up your shoes, like the shoelaces. And I think that's pretty good to be that agile at 81 years old.
Well, we're going to find out what these secrets are, if there are some, but it's just common sense, a lot of it. And yesterday we talked a little bit about it, and this project that was started a long time ago, they studied 1,500 people and found out what made them sick and well and things like that. And it had to do with their personality and marriages and divorces and all kinds of variables, didn't it?
That's right, and we learned that people that are ambitious, motivated, work very hard, that often adds, it seems to add to their life where they live longer. And the opposite, those that were carefree, undependable, no ambition, it said it there was a whopping increase in their mortality risk. Whopping increase. Whopping is something great, big. Wow, that's a whopper. There's a kind of hamburger called a whopper, and that's because it's so big. So when you hear that word whopping, it just means,
well,
really,
it means
big,
really big.
Or
it,
a lot of that's something.
Or significant.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so it makes a whopping increase.
That's true. Well, today on page 39, there's three questions, and then the answers are given about this book. So there's a longevity project, and it's going to talk about what really does make a difference. So let's take the first question and answer on page 39 at the top of the page. Let's read that one first.
Question. One of the interesting things the book points out about living a long and healthy life is career accomplishments. How does a person approach or choose a career and avoid stressing or shortening his or her own life? Answer. One of the tips we present in the Longevity Project, which we both use ourselves, is to welcome new work assignments. That is, rather than thinking, "Oh no, more work, I'm stressed," think, "Oh good, increased opportunity to accomplish something worthwhile." And then, here's the key, start on that task right away. This is not positive thinking. Rather, this is a behavioral approach to the workday.
Well, the one thing that they mentioned in this book, The Longevity Project, is they point this out. They tell you that if you want to live a long, healthy life, you have to accomplish something in your career. It says career accomplishments. Now, I don't think that people do it just to say they want to live a long life, but they're ambitious and they want to do something to help the world. They want to make a difference.
Right, and I think the word that comes to my mind is purpose. You want to have a job or a career that
motivation.
Has purpose, and that gives you a motivation to do well.
And well, so, how do you do that? How do they approach this choosing a career? Because you say, what do you want to do, and how do you do that?
Yeah, well, it says, how does a person, like you said, approach or choose a career and avoid stressing or shortening his or her own life? And once again, we look to the book. The book has some answers to this, The Longevity Project. And it says you're supposed to welcome new work assignments. Rather than thinking, oh no, more work, I'm stressed, think, oh good, increased opportunity to accomplish
something worthwhile.
Yes.
Well, you know,
it's
like,
one of the tips.
Like even people who work at Studio Classroom, now they might come to teach English, but they later learn how to make mini movies and how to do production and do television and organize tours and, oh, You should say, I just came to teach English, but Hazel does all kinds of stuff.
Well, yeah, I've had a lot of variety of work here myself, and I've enjoyed that variety.
And don't you think that makes a difference? You know, you have to keep learning different things, and because you're challenged to do it.
Again, I think welcoming a challenge is good. But like when there's a lot of work on your desk and it's even more work and more work, that's a little bit different, I think.
Yeah.
But being motivated, accepting a challenge and thinking, great, I can learn something new,
right,
or I can serve other people by doing this, so let me just say yes. And then if you stress, maybe it will add to your life, right? That's what we learned yesterday.
Well, you know, the new work assignment doesn't necessarily mean just more work. I'm going to say give me more work, but it's doing different things,
right,
something you haven't done. Learn how to edit movies and learn how to do something, a new type of work. You say, well, I don't do that. And well, learn.
Yeah.
See, I've learned a lot of things when I got out of school. I learned more when I got out of school than I did in school.
Right. And yesterday I gave a little talk on careers, and I said, always try to learn new things, because to just decide on a career and only go that pathway,
right,
you might find something better if you try new things.
Oh, that's true. Do new kinds of things.
Right. And also, sometimes when you have a very stressful career, there are other things you do in your life that
and
might
hobbies and things
help
too. Yeah.
With getting rid of the stress.
Mm-hmm.
And
like hobbies.
Right. Like I know for my husband, he has a stressful career because he's a commercial pilot. But he loves downhill skiing. He loves scuba diving. He loves getting out on the water, maybe on a boat or something. Well, that gets rid of the stress, right?
That's true.
That really helps.
And even reading books and things
yeah.
helps you. Different
yeah.
things, yeah. So you don't say, oh, no, I'm too tired to ride my bike tonight. Well, that gets rid of your stress sometimes, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Or walk your dogs, Hazel.
Walk those dogs.
Three dogs.
that's good.
Yep. You could say it could be stressing, but I always love seeing Hazel walking her dogs. Yeah. The dogs have a good time, too. Yeah.
The dogs love it. That's true. And that helps me enjoy it as well.
So don't just say, no more work. I think your attitude is very important. Say, sure, I'll try it. I'm mm-hmm. I'm kind of tired, but I'll try. And then you find out you're not so tired.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Right. And this says, here's the key, start on that task right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think balance is a good word here, too.
Yeah.
So we have to be wise about it. We can't just start everything right away, but we can begin to think about how we can do it. And if we have other work to do, maybe get that done or prioritize.
That's what I think. Prioritize is very good. What is your priority?
Yeah, right.
For me, I know the type of person I am. My motivation is, Lois, do that task. Get it done right now. Go do it now. Because sometimes I'll put it aside too long.
Right.
So,
And I think maybe this is saying just don't procrastinate. Don't put it off for a long time, but do it as soon as you can get to it and give it a try.
It's your behavioral approach, the way you do it to the workday. So there's a lot of things to do today instead of thinking, oh, there's so many things to do. Like Hazel said, which ones should you do first? So you prioritize. You don't have to read all your email first. You just do the ones you have to do. So sometimes that makes a big difference, your approach, doesn't it?
Right. It sure does.
Yeah. And so I think that's very important to start on it right away and not just say, I'll do that later. Mm-hmm. Just get it done.
Yeah.
I think that's one good point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is the second question they have to ask here? Let's read the second one. It's got a big, long answer.
Question. You found behaviors and characteristics in these 1,500 people studied that relate to longevity. What are a few of those behaviors and characteristics? What are the secrets to longevity? Answer. In childhood, each participant's parents and teachers were asked to rate the child on dozens of trait dimensions. We worked to create a reliable and valid scale of conscientiousness and dependability, whether the child was prudent, conscientious, truthful, and free from egotism. Then, in young adulthood, the participants were asked questions like, are you thrifty and careful about making loans? And how persistent are you in the accomplishment of your ends? We worked for months to construct and validate a new series of reliable personality scales. Unexpectedly, in both childhood and adulthood, conscientiousness turned out to be the best personality predictor of long life. This is a strong effect, comparable to the effects of systolic blood pressure or cholesterol on longevity.
So we find then that when you're in childhood, it's very, very important, don't you think?
That's right, and it talks about that. It asks the question, what are a few of the behaviors and characteristics that are secrets to longevity to life? And it does talk about childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, they started studying these participants when they were kids, which is amazing. And let's see.
You have to be conscientious. What does that mean?
That's right. To be conscientious means to be careful and consider carefully what you're doing, to be aware of what's happening.
Mm-hmm. And dependability.
Right.
I always found out we had to learn that when we're kids. When you try to teach it to somebody who's 15, it's so hard. But when we were little, we had to do it.
Yeah, put a lot of effort into your work, as our vocabulary focus says. And I think, you know, if your parents can teach that to you before you even go to school,
mm-hmm.
it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Like saying, okay, one of the things you're going to put effort into is you're going to make your bed every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad my parents taught me that, because I don't leave my house with my bed unmade.
Right.
And for some reason, when I walk into my bedroom, it looks tidy if the bed's made.
Right.
And it just helps me
feel more
organized,
right mindset
and be more organized.
Well, then sometimes I didn't want to do certain things, so I think, well, I'll leave it. My mother will do it, but she'd leave it for me to do. You know, and say we want to go out and play. And I was supposed to wash the dishes. And I would just leave them there, and I'd go out and play. And I'd come back, and I think my mother probably washed them. She said, the dishes are still waiting for you. You know, and so you learn that you better be dependable, and you have to learn it when you're a kid.
Plus, that also teaches me that you had a patient mother, because if she was impatient, she would have gone ahead and done them,
right, because
she couldn't stand to have them like that.
That's true,
so
right, she
was also a patient woman, and she was a smart woman.
Well, then also it says to be free from egotism. Now, egotism is to think you're better than you are. And I think the best thing for that growing up is to have a big family. I had five brothers and two older sisters. And every time I think I could do something, they say, well, who do you think you are? You know, not your mom and dad, your brothers and sisters. Kids that don't have brothers and sisters can be more egotistical.
Oftentimes, yes. Oftentimes,
because they don't
have
anybody else tell them.
Right,
you know?
Right.
What
yeah,
do you think, Hazel?
Well, I think when we're very small children, we always put ourselves first. It's
mm-hmm.
always me, and we don't want to share and things. And hopefully, as we get older, we see that there's other people that we need to be responsible to and share what we have sometimes, and not always want to be first, not always want to win, but think of others as well as ourselves.
Yeah, I know. I'm certainly glad I had a younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we tell each other off. We still do if we need to, but, you know, you just kind of, work together.
Who
you have to work together and be friends. And, and now we are today, so that's good.
Well, to being conscientious and things like, even when I was very little, if I would promise someone I was going to do something, and then something else happened, I'd say, I don't want to do that, just something else. And my dad said, no, you promised, you have to do it. So I had to learn that when I was little. And now it's not harder when you're older.
Exactly.
But it's hard if you try to learn it when you're older.
Exactly.
I think. Don't you think so?
And yes, and you've used a phrase a few times, who do you think you are?
Right.
And that means, like, do you think you're a princess? Do you think that you're the king and we should wait on you?
Yeah.
So when someone says, who do you think you are, it means you think you're more important than you are. So be careful.
That's why I like to be on time, you know?
Yeah.
And if somebody's going to take me someplace and they don't wait for me, I'm there. And then if everybody's sitting around, maybe you're making a TV show and there's 15 people on the cameraman and you're not there yet. They all have, who do you think you are? 15 people waiting for you?
You
have to learn that.
Right.
So, are you so special that they're all going to wait for you? And that kind of takes away that egotism, don't you think?
Yeah, and some people are like that. So don't be one of them.
I'm not ready yet.
Don't be one of them.
Right.
Yeah.
So those things help you in your life, I think. And they try to think of the different things that makes your personality like it is. And I think what you teach kids before they're 6 years old is very important, don't you think?
Right. And it says that the children in this study, when they started it out, they were children, and they asked their parents to evaluate them, and then they kept track of that.
Mm-hmm.
So then in young adulthood, the participants were asked questions as well, like, are you thrifty? Are you careful with your money? Are you careful about making loans, borrowing money, giving money, things like that?
Right. Well, in fact, even how you use money, because sometimes you want something and you don't have the money, and if you don't have the money, you can't buy it. My father always said, don't owe anybody anything. Can I borrow some money? No. I need some money. Go out and earn it. So you learn that when you're little. And now people borrow a lot of money and they can't pay it back. And they just, you know, it affects your life. You're worried.
Yes, you need to be very responsible and very careful with your money. It's very important. You don't want to end up without any, and you certainly don't want to end up owing a lot of people money.
And I think you need to teach children that, too. Sometimes people give them an allowance, and then they, when it's used up, they want more money. But you have to teach them when they're little, don't you think?
Yes, I did allowance with both my children, And we also did a program where this was how much of your allowance you were going to maybe spend this week. But then you had to have so much of your allowance that either you were going to save forever or for some really special item you wanted to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a matter of my husband and I teaching our kids that. And I think one learned it better than the other.
Well, it tells you here that you have to be thrifty and careful about making loans, but I think you have to be very careful a lot of things about money, because this is one of the things that married couples often fight and argue about too, and the way they're going to use money, and then the kids, they have to learn. So I think it's something you have to learn when you're little, don't you?
I think so. I've always admired my brother, what he does with his children. They'll go on vacation and maybe he'll give them $20 each, and then he'll say, now if you have money left over, I'll match that money and we'll put it in your bank account. Mm. So then they want to save the money and not just buy everything.
Hey, that's a good idea, right?
Yeah, it's a very good idea. I remember one time my father gave us money at the amusement park. It was called a Midway back then. And I kept mine, but my sister wanted to play one of these games right away. And her money went within about 5 minutes of us being in the amusement park. And I think I kept my money till the last 5 minutes of the amusement park. But my father wanted to do that because he was trying to teach us the value. We used to say the value of a dollar.
Yeah, well, that's true. Right. Well, it says over here in line 28-29 that they worked on this program, this longevity project. They worked for months to build or to construct and to validate something. What does it mean to validate something?
To make sure it works, to make sure it's good. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we talk about our driver's license. Is it valid or mm-hmm. not, or has it expired?
So not only that, not only things like that, we have to, is it really true that we have this new series of reliable personality scales? So we have all of these things that judge your personality. And I think we have to see how they get started, what we build them on.
Right.
And it says, unexpectedly, in both childhood and adulthood, conscientiousness turned out to be the best personality predictor of a long life. Was that surprising?
In some ways, but in other ways, no. I think a conscientious person wants to be more careful. Perhaps you're a safer person if you're conscientious. Maybe you eat more carefully. Maybe you exercise. You think about things that are good for you and not good for you.
You do what you're supposed to do. You keep your word, and you are reliable.
Yeah, and you know, I really like our vocabulary focus because it really helps with the actual article we're doing today. It says conscientiousness, putting a lot of effort into your work. But I don't think of it just my work. There's certain things I watch. I actually watch when people leave a restaurant. And do they just leave their chairs all scattered? Or do they once again push the chair in and leave it the way they saw it when they came to the table? That's being conscientious. So that's just doing something that makes somebody else's job after you leave a little easier.
Well, anyway, it says that this is a strong effect, and it's like making your life like this systolic blood pressure, and that's something that you're supposed to check your blood pressure and your cholesterol and all these things, whether they have something to do with longevity or not. We have one more question.
I got a definition for that.
Okay.
Blood pressure. And we have the systolic, they talk about blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
that is your upper number, and you have the diastolic, which is your lower number for your blood pressure. So a normal blood pressure, just in case our readers want to know, should actually be a blood pressure reading that your systolic number, the top, is less than 120, and your diastolic number, the bottom, is less than 80. So we should be striving for good blood pressure.
You sound like a nurse or a doctor here.
Yes.
So we have
definitely
one more question. Let's do the last one.
Question. And what were a few behaviors and characteristics that were shortening these people's lives? Answer. Men who got and stayed divorced, or who remarried and divorced again, saw their risk of dying skyrocket. And social isolation was generally very unhealthy.
Okay, so in closing here, we're talking about some behaviors that we have and certain characteristics that make our lives longer or shorter. So what were these?
Well, the one that they talk about here is being divorced. And that's a behavior that has a big impact on our lives, especially shortening it for men, it says. So men who got divorced, stayed divorced, saw their risk of dying skyrocket. Of course, the risk of dying is 100%. Right? We all die.
Everybody's gonna
but
die.
I think that's they mean dying earlier. Or at a younger age.
And remember, the last sentence says that social isolation is generally unhealthy. Don't just be by yourself.
I totally agree. Anybody I have seen do this in their later years of life, they do get miserable, they do get lonely, and they do die.
Okay, earlier.
A lot earlier, right. Actually.
And they're not so happy either.
No.
So I think one of the secrets is to have a purpose in your life, like we mentioned, something that you think is worth living for. Whether you're successful as far as finances go, that's not the thing. But if you do something that makes a difference in the world, it does make a difference in your life. Isn't that true, Hazel?
Exactly. So keep it up. Do a good job.
Okay.
Exactly. And I think you're referring to don't just work for money. Be good with your own finances, but reach out to others. And if you reach out to others, you won't be socially isolated.
Well, we have one more article here. It's going to be about coffee drinkers, but that's not really quite as important as the things we've talked about the last 2 days. But come back tomorrow for the final lesson here, and we'll see you all then. Have a good day today, and don't be too stressed out. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.